Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? Not only I ask you if you have shouted for joy, I like to ask whether you have taken some time having a walk with the Lord and drawing near to Him. I find it is very crucial. God wants us to gain the victory in mind through the wall of Jericho fell down. And one of the tips is to take a walk with Him, to shout for joy to Him. Besides, we spend some time in the morning drawing near to Him. We can talk, we can walk with the Lord, and have a close chat with Him. It is treasurable that you offer some time to Him especially. It could be 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I'd like to shout for joy with you, the Creator of the universe. The Most High who rules all things is our dearest Abba. The Lord's heart has turned to us since the beginning. He created all things for us. He created us, and we are created for Him. We are created for the Son of God. I'd like to sing a hymn with you. It's in Songs of Love, Song 106, My Wonderful Abba. This hymn is about our great Abba is the Creator of the universe. We are the jewel in His heart. Let us sing this hymn.
The Creator of the universe, the Most High God, who rules all things, who is and who was and who is to come, is my dearest Abba. I am the jewel of His heart, created in His own image. I am born of Him. I am born of Him. I am His dearest child.
I hope you have time to be still and respond to Him, or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to draw near to the Lord face to face. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read the letter to Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 18. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved's physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Lympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Do you find it is strange in the beginning of the letter to Colossians chapter 4 verse 1? For it was about the relationship between the master and the slave. In fact, it is the continuation of the end of chapter 3 in the letter of Colossians. Of course, it was about the relationship between the master and slave in that chapter. How the slave should treat his master. And when you come to chapter 4, verse 1, it is about how the master should treat the slave. Hence, the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4, verse 1 shouldn't be separate but connect. It has shown again the segmentation of chapter in the Bible may not be very accurate. I can say the first part of chapter 4 is from verse 2 to verse 6, which was the last teaching of Paul's letter. Paul wished the brothers and sisters should pray steadfastly, to be watchful and continue to give thanks. He asked for the prayers for him and his team, for he wished God could open the door of gospel for them. The heart of Paul desired to declare the mystery of Christ, and he became a prisoner for these reasons. Paul longed for man to know the core of God's will as many as possible, which is the mystery of Christ. You will have a better understanding what Paul mentioned about the mystery of Christ when I share with you in the letter to Ephesians later on. Of course, he mentioned it as well as in the letter to Colossians, and I have shared with you about the mystery of Christ, which is related to the Gentiles, and who are us. I can say the mystery of Christ is the church. This chapter was very similar in style with the letter to Romans, chapter 16, which we read before. Paul liked to share updates of his current situation, his will in the last chapter, and his eagerness in preaching the gospel to the place further away was manifest in the letter to Romans. Yes, he was in prison when he wrote the letter to Colossians. Still, he wished to declare the mystery of Christ as long as he lived. Paul asked the brothers and sisters to pray for him in the letter to Romans chapter 16. And in the letter to Colossians chapter 14, he also asked the brothers and sisters to pray for him and asked God to open the door for preaching in order to explain the mystery of Christ. As you can see, Paul had the undying passion for the Lord and his will. In fact, he had never been to Rome when he wrote the letter to Romans. When he was already in prison in Rome, he wrote the letter to Colossians. However, Paul still hoped God would open the door for him and his team to preach so that he could continue to preach and explain the mystery of Christ. He treasured the time given by God. Thus, he also urged brothers and sisters to make the best use of their time and walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Paul referred to wisdom here was quite interesting. It didn't mean that we should be careful or smart when dealing with others. As Proverbs said that wisdom comes from the fear of God. So you should understand what Paul told us to walk in wisdom towards outsider is not as simply as making friends with others. It's about seizing the opportunity to preach the gospel to them. Of course, if you fear God, you would like the unbelievers to fear God as well. Yes, they shall first know God in order to fear God. We must preach the gospel to them so that they will believe in the Lord. Paul also mentioned the need to make the best use of time. But what was his point of making the best use of our time? His aim was to grasp the time to preach the gospel. Paul mentioned, "Let our speech always be gracious." That means to tell others about the meaning and the content of the gospel and the message of grace. Thus, Paul liked the brothers and sisters in Colossae to intimate him in verse 5 and verse 6, seizing the time and the opportunity to make God's grace known to others with wisdom and in the fear of God. Brothers and sisters, I can say verse 2 to verse 6 were the final exhortation of Paul and teaching to the brothers and sisters in Colossae. I believe we all know that our days are numbered and the Lord is coming soon. I hope we can seize the opportunity to preach and bear witness to our families and friends. But Paul knew well that if we like to preach the gospel, we do need to pray. Truly, we need God to open the door in preaching and open man's heart, to give us opportunities and give us the courage and wisdom to gain men. Brothers and sisters, we have to trust in God as this is the spiritual war. We shall overcome by trusting in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, truly, you shall pray more for your family members who have not believed in the Lord. Paul mentioned 8 of his fellow co-workers in the last part of the letter to Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 18. They were Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, and also Justus, Apophis, and Luke. Finally, Demas was also mentioned, but later on, he left Paul because of his love for the world. I don't know if you have noticed that Paul's ministry was the ministry of a team and not the ministry on his own. No matter how smart or awesome Paul was, Paul couldn't do it alone and relied on his own. In fact, Paul appeared to be a man who shocked the first century. There were many precious brothers and sisters who support him in behind. Paul would not be Paul without this group of co-workers who love the Lord and the brothers and sisters deeply. Every one of us needs brothers and sisters. It is certainly the grace of the Lord that we are able to stand still now. And it is the grace of the Lord who gives us brothers and sisters, and we can't do without brothers and sisters. Yes, that's not all, not only about the brothers and sisters. We have to have the spiritual companions with whom you can pursue and serve together and encourage one another. Brothers and sisters who support one another in times of trouble. You need to have brothers and sisters who can help you in spirit to be your spiritual companions. You may not recognize some of the names mentioned here. If you knew them, you would know that the brothers who went through the thick and thin with Paul. The first one Paul mentioned was a brother named Tychicus. Paul described him as his beloved brother. In fact, there is no need to add the word beloved. It should be literally translated as my brother Tychicus, whom I love. Tychicus was the one Paul loved. Paul also described him as a faithful minister. He was a fellow servant of the Lord with Paul. Thus, as we can imagine, Tychicus was very close to Paul, a brother who loved Paul very much, and he was a faithful minister who was very trustworthy, for he was faithful. In fact, Tychicus was mentioned in the entire New Testament 5 times, and Paul sent him to go here and there 4 times. Why did Paul like to send him so many times? I believe it was due to the trustworthiness of Tychicus, and he could pass on the message of Paul. Here, Paul sent Tychicus to the brothers and sisters in Colossae and made known to the brothers and sisters about the situation of him and his co-workers to be their comfort. At the beginning of sharing the letter to Colossians, as I've mentioned, Paul had never been to Colossae. Yet he was concerned about their needs and their situation, and he knew that they may be influenced by many wrong doctrines. Hence, Paul was very eager to help them. Yet Paul was in prison and couldn't go there in person. The only thing he could do was to send someone who was trustworthy and closest to him and know his thoughts, and who could help the brothers and sisters in the Colossians church. There was Tychicus among his co-workers. So I guess Tychicus was a gifted man who was strong in spirit and understood the heart of Paul. Surely is very precious, because he could be of the same mind as Paul and be able to care for the church of God. Yet such a gifted man was willing to follow Paul. It was possible that Tychicus had been following Paul for 10 years, but he stayed with Paul and was sent by Paul. I felt Tychicus was such a gentle and humble brother. Paul has sent him to different places on 2 occasions. One occasion was to take care of the church in Crete on behalf of Titus. The other occasion was to take care of the brothers and sisters in Ephesus in behalf of Timothy. As Paul wanted to see Titus, so he sent Tychicus, and later on, Paul also liked to see Timothy, and he sent Tychicus to Ephesus. The role of Tychicus was to substitute for others, and he didn't mind at all. Just imagine that he had to replace the position of 2 outstanding leaders at that time, Titus and Timothy. Tychicus was comparable to them as the substitution. As you can see, he was a brother who was so glorious. He loved the Lord very much. He was so humble and gentle. Yet, the Bible didn't mention him a lot. Truly, he was hidden. My heart appreciates and treasures this brother more. I really like to pat him on the shoulder and say thank you to him in heaven. For Tychicus compelled me. It's true. See how this brother served, who was so submissive, obedient, and willing to move around. He was willing to cooperate with brothers and sisters. He was comfortable and carefree for Paul to have such a co-worker who liked him. It's true that Tychicus is a big inspiration and reminder to me. I really hope that every brothers and sisters has such a disposition. Brothers and sisters and I are in harmony with one another, who are willing to be sent anywhere and be faithful servants of the Lord. All of us can be Tychicus in this generation. After Tychicus, Paul mentioned another co-worker named Onesimus. I was moved when I meditated on him. Onesimus was a Colossian who was a slave. His master was Philemon, a believer. But he went away, and later on he met Paul. After hearing the gospel, Onesimus repented and believed in Jesus. In addition, he became the co-worker of Paul. The problem was that he was a slave and believed in Jesus. Philemon, his master, was a believer in the Lord as well. So how to handle this situation? Paul then wrote a letter to Philemon while he was in prison. It was the letter to Philemon, who is one of my favorites. It's very short and quick to finish, as it has only 25 verses. Yet, this is not only the main reason why I like this book. This book is sentimental. Paul specifically wrote to Philemon to tell him to accept Onesimus and treat him like a brother. Whatever was owed to him was charged to Paul's account. It was as if Paul had become the guarantor of Onesimus. This letter is full of Paul's love for Onesimus and his trust in Philemon. This letter is very emotional. You will understand this book without my explanation and sharing, and I'm sure you'll be moved. For Paul was like the Lord, who has the full acceptance, full of love, full of consideration and compassion. Thus, when the name Onesimus was mentioned in the letter to Colossians chapter 4, I was deeply moved, because Onesimus was nurtured, protect, guide, and guaranteed by Paul. However, Onesimus was just a Gentile, and he was a slave. Even though he violated the law by escaping, Paul still loved him. Onesimus became the co-worker of Paul, and he stayed with Paul as well as the later days of Paul. Then Paul sent Onesimus back to Colossae with Tychicus to visit the brothers and sisters in Colossae, of course, including his previous master, Philemon. In fact, Paul himself was in great need, yet he didn't keep Onesimus or Tychicus. He sent them to Colossae. It was enough to send Tychicus, but why did he send Onesimus as well? I think Paul was very thoughtful. Truly, he liked Onesimus to be more glorious in the coming days. He liked Onesimus to face the past. And I believe Paul did not want Onesimus to take on the name of a runaway slave for the rest of his life. He liked Onesimus to be accepted openly and accepted by Philemon, in the house of Philemon, and even the church at Colossae. I don't know if I'm correct. If it's true, Paul liked to remove the shadow in Onesimus' heart. The church is the house of God, and it is one in all lands. Brothers and sisters in every city are our brothers and sisters. Should Onesimus have to escape for his whole life? How much more? He was a co-worker of Paul. The word of God was upon him. Hence, he shouldn't escape. On the other hand, I have to move on and talk about one person due to the limited time. It's Mark, the one who wrote the gospel according to Mark, who was recommended by Barnabas to go with Paul together to preach when Paul was first sent by the church in Antioch. But for some reason, Mark left the team and went back to Jerusalem when he and Paul and Barnabas went to Pamphylia. You can refer to the Acts of the Apostle, chapter 13. Paul was dissatisfied with him. Thus, when Paul went out to preach for the second time, he refused to take Mark with him. Barnabas and Paul actually separated due to this incident. Yes, I don't know what happened afterwards. This Mark, named John, became a good co-worker again for the Apostle Paul. Obviously, the amity between them was resolved. Paul mentioned that Mark was with him when he wrote the letter to Philemon. He also mentioned Mark worked with him when he wrote the letter to Timothy. Mark was the good helper and co-worker of Paul. In fact, I saw that there may be some amities between brothers and sisters through these verses. But the amities could be resolved and the brothers and sisters can become good co-workers and partners again, as long as they're willing to accept one another. Because of the Lord and by the Lord, Paul specifically mentioned here in verse 10, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. Paul may have rejected him before and refused to accept Mark as his co-worker, resulting in breaking up of relationships. But I guess the Lord had done something. Not only did they reconcile, but the close co-workers as well. Brothers and sisters, there is always a way out. As long as we're united in Christ and our hearts are turning to the Lord, we're in unity, in love, and in one to the end. Brothers and sisters, neither give place to the devil in breaking our relationship. May we all be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. I finish sharing in the letter to Colossians. I hope you enjoyed and understand the content of the letter to Colossians this time, especially in your spiritual pursuit. You see the right path and always think of the Lord and sit with him in heaven to live a happy life of union with the Lord day to day. That's all for my sharing. I hope you have time to continue to draw close to the Lord and pour out your heart to him. May the Lord bless you.